What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, hour number three. And for those of you watching on BAM User, this gorgeous creature sitting beside me is the lovely Lady Claire, who likes to come on in on our Fridays, third hour, with her unique perspective on the world. So what do you want to talk about first?
Well, the first thing I want to do is a shout-out to Republic Broadcast Network itself in terms of this fundraising drive. And folks, this is really serious. I wish, and everyone at RBN wishes, that we could just survive on advertising, etc., etc. But no, where else are you going to get the quality and integrity of programming? Nowhere. What the programming on RBN does is give you the opportunity to be what I would call a seven-day awareist, understanding what is going on and knowing in context what you have to do to take care of yourself, take care of your family. Where do you find that on any other radio network or any other radio show? The short answer is you don't. So I am personally asking you to please phone on in to RBN, and the number is 800-724-2719, and donate, or use PayPal on RBN's website, and you're going to see that at www.republicbroadcasting.org, and the address for postal contributions is on the website.
That's in Round Rock, Texas.
Yeah, definitely. And Mike, the first thing that I want to talk about is some statements made by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Dearest.
Right. She's back again.
She's back. Oh, yeah, she is. And she spoke at a meeting at the Brookings Institution, a D.C. think tank, and she used the phrase, "security, not democracy, was the real motivating factor," when she was serving in Bush's administration. And she went on to say it was a security problem. Now, Mike, I've got to hand it to Condoleezza Rice. When this lady doubles down on disseminating bovine excrement, she really doubles down.
Well,
so,
she's basically back to this thing about we had to invade Iraq because of the nuclear weapons of mass destruction, and even though it turned out they didn't exist, we believe they existed, and our belief that the weapons were there justified our invasion of Iraq. And no, of course, it didn't. When you invade a country on the basis of bad information, you have committed a war crime.
Yeah, you know, and I have a word for Secretary Rice. The world knows that she is lying, and yet she continues to lie about the real motivations for both wars. She used the word security when what she meant was economic security.
Yes.
Because, as Karl Marx once noted, all wars are really economic in their origins.
Well, the real cause of the Iraq War was Iraq's requesting permission from the United Nations to sell Iraq's oil for the euro instead of the dollar.
Right.
And the United Nations said perfectly okay under the Food for Oil program.
Yeah.
And that was what prompted this emergency meeting between Tony Blair and George Bush, basically 1 year before the war actually started.
Right.
And so that was where the decision was made. We have to go into Iraq and smash up the place and make sure their oil is sold only for the U.S. dollar.
And it's that simple. And because the world understands that you were lying through your teeth about these issues, you, Secretary Rice, are never going to be believed in anything you say ever again, even if what you happen to say is accidentally the truth.
That's always the danger. When you're caught lying, a government that is caught lying to the people reaches a point where the people aren't going to believe the government, even on those rare occasions when the government is actually telling the truth.
Yeah.
Governments have in the past, actually paralyzed their ability to operate by losing the trust and confidence of their people. And it's happening in this country.
Yeah. I'd like to turn over to a very important issue that's getting zero coverage in the U.S. press. The Palestinian hunger strike has taken a dramatic turn, and this comes from Press TV, which is an Iranian web outlet in English. And apparently more Palestinian prisoners are joining the mass hunger strike, which entered its 26th day today. And a lot of them seem to be on it or willing to join it. And the radio, Sat al-Asra, Voice of Prisoners, said that nearly 100 Palestinian inmates from different political factions decided to join. The radio estimates that that are there say that nearly 1,800 prisoners are currently participating in the strike. However, the Palestinian Prisoners Club puts the number far higher, saying that more than 3,000 are actually striking. Now, of course, the Israeli authorities are poo-pooing this, and what has happened has been the Fatah Central Committee, considered by the Palestinian movement's top decision-making body, called on Thursday for all of its members in Israeli prisons to join the hunger strike immediately.
Okay, now what they're trying to do is they're trying to do a Gandhi.
Yeah.
And the difference, unfortunately, when Gandhi was doing his fasting to the point of death, it got a lot of media play, not just within India to the Indian people, but around the world, and it generated sympathy. But as Claire pointed on out, in our era of controlled media, this is getting no coverage at all on the corporate media.
Zero.
And so we have to make a big stink about it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Palestinians are protesting is the unfair treatment. They're being thrown into prison without any just cause, without a trial.
They're political prisoners,
They're political
Mike.
Prisoners.
I mean, that's the bottom line here.
And it just underscores the excessively cruel treatment Israel dishes out to the apartheid population, no different than what happened down in South Africa during the apartheid era.
Right.
And we're seeing it all over again. All right, we're going to do a quick shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And what's next on your list of things to...
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about more this a little more and then go on to my next. When the Israeli guards start losing these men to either malnutrition or gastronasal forced feeding gone wrong, Mike, I think the excrement is going to hit the ventilation system big time, both within the prisons and within both Israel and Palestine. And I would like to suggest to Prime Minister Netanyahu, the world is watching the outcome of these hunger strikes. And I'm asking you, sir, not to do anything utterly foolish with the fates of these political prisoners.
I'll tell you something that did not happen, did not help the situation, were these settlers who literally set up a barbecue right outside the prison.
I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. So that the smell of the food would go on in and just torment them.
Yeah.
And it basically displays a character that is mean, vindictive, and petty, and bordering on inhumane. And Israel right now is very much worried about its public image around the world. These kinds of things are not helping at all.
No, definitely not. And I know that you covered some of this a little earlier in the show, but regarding the hacking and ransomware, the FBI gives Hollywood hacking victims surprising advice, pay the ransom. Apparently it hit Netflix agencies and other media organizations are winding up getting their sites hacked, like UTA. And, for example, UTA on April 11th found out that there was an intruder lurking in the voicemail system and computer network and quickly decided to shut them down, sending agents to conduct business on their iPads. And very soon after, there was a hacker demand which arrived. Pay a ransom or watch the agency's most confidential data get posted online. And Mike, the question I have is, in all of this pain, particularly when I was seeing what was happening with the British hospitals, which is, you know, immoral and inhuman, people's lives can...
You're endangering patients' lives,
Where is the great and grand NSA in all of this to champion we the people suffering from epidemic hacking attacks? AWOL, nowhere to be found. Nowhere whatsoever.
In the case of WannaCry, the NSA has got egg all over its face because it was... The NSA actually developed one of the elements currently being used in WannaCry that's that's going around the world right now. I mean, the numbers are just skyrocketing, and you all have
staggering.
To be careful about attachments to emails. What's really interesting, this other story that Claire is talking about, this is a completely different hack.
Right.
And we're seeing that where hackers get into a company, they get the confidential data, and they say, pay us a ransom, or we will post it in places where you don't want it to appear. And this idea of the FBI saying pay the ransom, that's actually been their advice all along, going all the way back to when the ransomware problem first appeared. That's always been the advice of the FBI. Just go ahead and pay the ransom. We can't do a thing about it.
And I have to wonder, Mike, do you think it's possible there are elements of NSA that are actually doing the hacks to perfect their tools?
Well, or to just make a fast buck here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the number of infections of WannaCry, and the ransom is $300 per ransom, mm-hmm. they're already into like $3-4 million in instant wealth here.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that Kaspersky identified the Equation Group hacker cartel as being part of the NSA.
Yeah.
So, yes, a lot of this cybercrime and hacking is probably these agencies either training, perfecting their tools, or they're just going on out and using their tools to line their own pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Snowden is saying that the NSA data centers house the greatest collection of privately produced amateur porn on the entire planet, that NSA has just gone into computers and
I am.
You know, they steal the pictures that people are making of each other in their playtime, and they have them for their own personal amusement, to put it delicately.
Yes, yes. I'd like to go on to this whole thing about Russia hacking the election, and there has been a book that's come out recently called Shattered, and they came up with a revelation that the Clinton campaign hatched the Russian hacking narrative 24 hours after Clinton's loss. And when she finally accepted that she had lost, she was blaming the FBI investigations, Russian interference, and Trump's supposed support from white nationalists. And then the author went on to detail how Clinton went out of her way to pass blame for her stunning loss on Comey and Russia. She wanted to make sure all these narratives get spun the right way, a longtime Clinton confidant is quoted as saying.
In other words, we're going to lie.
Yeah.
We're going to lie.
Exactly. And the book further highlights how Clinton's Russia blame game was a plan hatched by senior campaign staffers John Podesta and Robbie Mook less than within 24 hours after she had conceded. Now, Mike, in my perception, this only could have been the Frankensteinian brainchild of people who were collectively and pathologically incapable of taking responsibility for Clinton's loss.
Well, that's always been the hallmark of Clinton, the Clintons and their associates.
Yeah.
Anything that goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. We never do anything wrong. They're pure sociopaths in their mindset. And Hillary Clinton apparently thought that between the election fraud and everything else and the media coverage, that she had the election locked. She did not even have a concession speech prepared. And normally when you're in an election, you will prepare two speeches, an acceptance and a concession.
Yep.
And she had her acceptance speech all out there saying, you will bow down and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not actually have a concession speech. That's how overconfident she was.
Yeah.
It clearly hit her as an absolute shock that we, the American people, just don't like her and her politics.
Yep.
And we remember all the dark shadows that hang over the Clinton cartel.
Well, you know, she lost this election for some very solid reasons. First, she stole the Democratic nomination from Sanders. Second, she has more baggage than Kim Kardashian on a photo shoot, and will undoubtedly go down in history as one of the most thoroughly corrupt politicians in this country's history. Third, she has the nauseating stench of entitlement and inevitability, which just reeks out of every pore when she speaks.
And that was a tremendous turnoff for people. You know, she alienated Democrats who supported Bernie Sanders, you know, to the point where they're still trying to sue the DNC for a refund of all the money they donated in their belief that they were supporting Bernie Sanders. And believe it or not, the lawyer for the DNC is arguing these Bernie Sanders supporters should have known we were going to make Hillary the nominee, and therefore they don't have grounds to sue.
Yeah, right, right. And, you know, lastly, she is a consummate warmonger who absolutely doesn't have the temperament for the job of president. And the bottom line here is she was damaged goods before she stole the nomination from Sanders, and the Democratic National Committee had better wrap their heads around this reality, and soon, or else it's going to be positioning itself for even more massive losses in elections ahead. no matter how good their vote rigging might be.
Well, that was sort of a subtle message that Donald mm-hmm. Trump sent out mm-hmm. when he signed the executive order forming this new election integrity commission. And they are focusing very much on what happened last year. I think they ought to focus on the system as a whole. Mm-hmm. But he's sending a message to the Democrats. Playtime is over.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to go back over to Israel. And apparently, Benjamin Netanyahu is waging a war on press freedom there. On Tuesday, he shuttered Israeli Broadcasting Authority with less than 2 hours' notice. And in doing that, he ended a near half century of public broadcasting, which had been a staple on Israeli television. Its first news program, IBA, to be replaced by Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation. And in its final night, I mean, this was so bad for the hosts, the anchors wept openly. Journalists blasted the shutdown on air, and the final broadcast ended with staff singing Hatikva, which is Israel's national anthem, which sounded more like a dirge than a national anthem because they were really hurt by how it was done. And it's very obvious to me that Netanyahu doesn't like the free press because he cannot control it. And in my view, Mike, what is left of it in Israel appears to be fading away exponentially, which is very much to Netanyahu's liking.
Well, it's not just in Israel. Netanyahu's trying to get rid of a free press mm-hmm. all over the world, and yep. even here in the United States of America. Yep. Now, most of our corporate media is very much co-opted by Israel's propaganda mm-hmm. Agenda. The independent media is a constant target
yep.
Of Israel. They're screaming, we're a bunch of anti-Semites. And because, again, when you have rulers who rule with lies, fraud, and deception, to them, telling the truth is an act of treason.
Yeah. And unfortunately, in this portion of the 21st century, it's reasonable to state that the Israeli experiment in democracy has died, assassinated by an unwillingness to deal honestly with the questions of an independent Palestine, its development of a massive police state, and having become an horrifically apartheid theocracy with nuclear weapons. Now, another little story about Israel that we did not hear much about, heard it in Sputnik. Apparently, this last week and set to continue, U.S. fighter pilots are set to fly Israeli skies to join joint aircraft drills. The Army has confirmed that Israeli and U.S. pilots will be engaging in these drills this week at Uvda Air Force Base near the Israeli city of Eilat. They will be trained in a number of exercises, while other squadrons will train in the Negev Desert. And while the role of enemy aircraft will be played by the Israeli Defense Forces, the team will operate enemy missiles and radars, etc., etc., and that a number of F-15 fighters have already been set over to begin. But, Mike, I've got to wonder what the potential targets here are. Right now, were I a betting person, I would say either Iran, Syria, or Lebanon. What do you think?
Well, we're seeing indications of a potential all-out invasion of Syria.
Yeah.
And Israel's going to want to secure their borders, especially that border going around the mm-hmm. north part of the Golan. Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably this is what they're preparing to do, is to protect Israel from fallout from the Syrian invasion,
right?
Even though Israel was materialistically involved in creating all of this problem in Syria in the first place.
Yeah. And but the problem here for them that I can foresee, stretched out on the Bösendorfer piano and napping for the moment, is the 6,000-pound gorilla in the living room. And that is the presence of Russia in Syria and Russia's oft-stated promise to assist Iran militarily should a foreign government attempt to invade it. And I don't know what these people in the bowels of power in this unhinged States of America and Tel Aviv are thinking. To even be moving in this direction is collective hubristic madness.
Now, this is where we get on back to Paul Craig Roberts' mm-hmm. comments in his article. He keeps insisting that his sources within the U.S. government are planning a nuclear first strike on Russia. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll okay. be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, watching on cable news here. Rex Tillerson is apparently launching another political spitball, if you will, at Russia,
yep.
Saying that relations with Russia are getting worse and worse and worse. And he's basically saying Russia is refusing to cooperate with the United States.
What?
In other words, basically the U.S. State Department's issue with Russia is Russia won't do what they're being told to do by the United States. And Rex is sort of taking the attitude that, of course, Russia should just go along with what we want to do. We're the United States of America. And, of course, Putin has other ideas because he understands the end of the current U.S. Agenda is the loss of sovereignty for Russia, China, and pretty much the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Rex is out there. He's building up more confrontation with Russia, which is very worrying in light of Paul Craig Roberts' repeated warnings of a nuclear first strike. And again, they need to make it look like this is Russia's fault, that Russia is to blame for all of this, that gosh darn it, those Russians, they won't do what we tell them to do, and therefore we now have a right to just launch nuclear weapons at them, which I don't like hearing that, sitting out here in the middle of the Pacific.
Yeah.
We got a first strike target right out that window there.
Yep, we sure do.
We really do.
I'd like to get a little closer to home in terms of problems with health that are being caused by immigrants and refugees. Apparently, the state of Minnesota now needs $5 million to fight infectious diseases in their immigrant population. And, you know, gee, maybe former President Obama could contribute his last speaking fee of about $3 million as a partial payment to handle the crisis.
Oh, that would be wonderful for Obama to do that. I mean, yeah. After all, he made this mess. It would be the honorable thing to do.
Yes,
and
it would.
We'll see that probably on the same day they open that new skating rink in the dark places.
Yes, yes, or when pigs fly. The latest news generated by the recent measles epidemic in Minnesota, as of Tuesday, there were 50 diagnosed cases. Most, 45, are from the Somali community. And we get told that refugees don't cost state and local taxpayers a dime. And this following information comes from Michael Leahy at Breitbart. Minnesota Health Commissioner Dr. Ed Erlinger sounded an alert on more frequent and costly threats to the public health, referencing measles, TB, Zika, syphilis. Oh, that's a nasty list of things.
It's pronounced Zika here.
Okay.
And what's really alarming, especially with the tuberculosis, it is drug resistant.
Yeah.
It is contagious, and it is basically untreatable.
Right.
And the American population are very much at risk because tuberculosis was eradicated from this country decades ago, and our current generation has no immunity for it.
Yeah, yeah. And but I have a reasonable plan. I think all of these ill immigrants should be mandated to only be allowed to live on the properties of those congressional representatives and other federal officials who approved allowing them into this country so that they have a close-up and personal first-hand knowledge of the intended consequences of welcoming really sick people into this country.
You know, it's really a lot of fun to do is to go up to one of these open borders people and just say, when are you going to take a refugee into your home? And just watch their face.
Oh, yeah.
There's entertainment value in
that
right
definitely.
There. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I want to go over to India and Pakistan. Unfortunately, that situation around Kashmir is starting to heat up again. Apparently, two civilians have been killed on either side of the disputed border between India and Pakistan and Kashmir. And this thing could get so out of control. There are moments to me, Mike, when it looks like this madness between India and Pakistan, both nuclear-armed countries, will never end, and that a nuclear confrontation may be inevitable. And until and unless this is sorted, I would like to see all foreign aid to these countries, except for food and medicine, stopped internationally. No more weapons, nothing but food and medical care. The Kashmiri people deserve and need a referendum to decide if they want to stay with India, become part of Pakistan, or be an independent country. But until and unless this happens, Mike, the loss of innocent civilian lives is going to continue, and this is awful.
All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before I go back to the lady Claire watching on the news here again, apparently there's a war of words building between Donald Trump and former FBI Director James Comey. And the gist of it is that Comey is apparently threatening to release or leak the evidence, which doesn't exist, of Trump's connection to Russia. They are desperate to keep the focus off the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server and the Clinton Foundation. And they are so desperate, it's calling attention to itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look over here, look over here. You know,
desperation on the cusp of madness. Never a good thing.
We'll set a dog on fire. Just don't look over at the email server over there. All right, so back to you.
As if things could not get more difficult for the poor people of Yemen who are experiencing genocide, courtesy of the Saudi bombing of it, southern Yemen leaders are now launching a secessionist bid. There has been a former Aden governor, Idrus Zubaydah, who has announced that they are launching a formal movement for the secession of South Yemen, making the announcement with the flag of the former country. Now, going back in history, it was conquered by North Yemen in 1994, and under Ali Abdullah Saleh. Saleh ruled until 2012, when Abdul Rabu Mansur Hadi was appointed to replace him. And by the way,
that was the successful U.S. intervention into Yemen.
And guess how many names were on the ballot when al-Hadi ran?
One.
Okay.
Vote fraud needed in that one.
Yeah. The northern Yemen is controlled by the Shiite Houthi movement now, while the Saudi-backed forces of Hadi rule the south, with the country once again split largely along the historical border. There has always been some southern nationalism within Yemen, and the war's presence de facto has split the country back. So, dear House of Saud, the Saudi government and the government of the unhinged States of America, welcome to the wonderful world of unintended geopolitical consequences.
I wouldn't make that leap just yet, because the question is, mm-hmm. which of the two Yemens on either side of that split has all the oil? Because that's really what the U.S. wants to control.
Right.
And they may just decide, well, if the oil is all there in the south and we're already in control of the south, we'll just say, okay, we're going to have a secession, mm-hmm. and the Houthis can have that little sliver of empty desert and dirt, and we'll get control of the oil.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's in the south. I'm tap dancing on that. But
I'll have to look at a map.
Yeah, right. Apparently, from a standpoint of aircraft carriers, Trump has rejected digital catapults and demands a return to steam. And there was an interview in Time magazine, and President Trump revealed an exchange during a recent tour of the USS Gerald Ford, an aircraft carrier, during which he discovered that newer carriers are using digital catapult systems for launching aircraft. He was apparently livid with the discovery, saying that it sounded bad to him, and demanding that the aircraft carriers go back to using steam for their launches, claiming it would save hundreds of millions of dollars. There's no evidence to support the money-saving suggestion, and the switch to the digital EMALS launchers was seen by the Navy as a necessary one. Steam-based launchers, which use the steam produced by the carrier's nuclear power plant, are described as high-maintenance systems with no feedback control, and it's a problem. And so, President...
Well, before you go into this, there's a bias built in here, in this article, because they're talking about it just sounds bad to him. That's not how you make the decision. The mm-hmm. reality is these digital catapults are magnetic railguns.
Okay.
And they do have problems with being able to control them. They've had a problem with these the catapults on the Gerald R. Ford actually fracturing the launching attachments on the aircraft. They've had a problem with them launching aircraft so fast that if the aircraft are carrying wing tanks or excessive ordnance loads, it can cause a problem with the wings.
Okay.
The advantage of a steam catapult is it's an established known technology, and they just know the number that they have to dial to for any given configuration of aircraft. This system is supposed to be automated, where it decides for itself how much force to apply to the airframe based mm-hmm. on the airframe configuration and its weapons and tanks loadout, but apparently it's not working very well. They're still working on the software. The reality is that these magnetic rail catapults are much more expensive than the steam systems, mm-hmm. and they still don't have them working. And I'm kind of glad to see that Donald Trump is being very critical of this system, because we had been talking about the Gerald R. Ford and statements by people in the Navy that it may never actually be usable in real combat because of all the high-tech whiz-bang and all the problems. And then, of course, Trump was on there doing a speech about huzzah, huzzah, the Navy and the military and our newest carrier. But apparently he wasn't taken in by the presentation that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, if the main reason they wanted the magnetic catapults was the steam catapults take up a lot of vertical room underneath the flight deck, and they wanted to be able to get rid of that for the much thinner magnetic rail system in order to have more room on the flight deck and possibly even lower the flight deck a little bit to lower its radar profile.
Okay.
But again, this is something that should have been perfected in ground-based testing, a ground-based setup,
right,
long before it was considered to be put into an active combat warship.
So they signed off on it before it was actually really rock solid, right?
Well, they've been doing that all along with all these weapons.
Yeah.
They go on in and say, we're going to have this, we're going to have that, and they just push the contracts through. We're even seeing that here with our light rail system, where they're having to replace all of the columns that are going to support the stations where you get on and off the train, because the contracts for the columns were awarded before the design for the stations was finalized, and now it's realized they're far heavier than was expected. So we see a lot of that in the military-industrial complex. Again, we've got the F-35. It's onboard cannon. The software still doesn't work.
Yep.
Now they're saying that it actually shakes so bad it could damage the wing root. So their solution is put a gun in a pod underneath the belly, adding to the weight, reducing maneuverability, just like they did with the old F-4, which was actually built without a cannon because they figured the missiles would be invincible. Turned out not to work. We have seen so many of these weapons that are boondoggles, and Trump is absolutely right, especially when you're talking about going into combat. You want something that is simple, reliable, easy to fix,
right?
Not a complex system that one little hack can take it down, like happened to the USS Donald Cook. I remember when you and I were given that behind the scenes tour on the Missouri. What really impressed me was the way it had been set up and designed, so that any damage anywhere inside the armored core, the citadel, there were plugs and cables pre-positioned where you could route around and just fix things, just instantaneously. And we seem to have lost that simple is better wisdom with our newer weapons, and that's why they cost so much and why they're less than effective.
I'd like to talk a little bit about South Korean President-elect Moon. He wants to limit U.S. sanctions on the North, and he's been engaged in conversations with leaders from around the world, and today insisted that he only wants to see sanctions imposed against North Korea done in parallel to negotiations with them. Now, this guy is a sunshine policy advocate, looking at engaging with North Korea, becoming more involved with North Korea, and avoiding, if humanly possible, a military confrontation. Now, Michael, I can almost guarantee you, and I would almost bet, this approach will not be to the liking of those in the bowels of power in the unhinged states of America.
Well, they've got a little bit of a problem, because once he is sworn in as president of South Korea, if he says, I want you, the United States of America, to pull your weapons out of my country, what is the United States going to do? Turn around and reinvade South Korea so that they can then be free to invade North Korea? Moon has already said he's going to do that. He's he's going to say South Korea will take care of its defense against North Korea, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to defuse the tensions and go back to being friends with them, which is obviously the best solution. And obviously the war hawks want something else. So we could see Moon assassinated, or we could see a false flag missile launch into South Korea blamed on North Korea. Remember when they tried to frame North Korea for the sinking of the Cheosung.
And the missile was the wrong type.
Torpedo.
Torpedo was the wrong type.
They tried to say, here's a blueprint of the torpedoes used by North Korea, and here's what we brought it from the ocean. See, it's round on the front, it has a propeller on the back, it's obviously the same weapon. And then looking closely at the steering actuators on the tail, it was very obviously not the same weapon. So we could see something like that. We have a government that is just absolutely desperate to get the war agenda back on track, and there is absolutely nothing they will not do to get there.
I also mentioned what you just stated in my notes, a decap strike against Moon, or to be blamed on some lone nut assassin, or the false flag. And to the best of my knowledge, Michael, and I need to ask you on this, has the firepower from the Navy gone away from the Korean Peninsula?
As far as I know, they're still there.
Still sitting
there. They're still there making stink face.
You know, that's a lot of hardware and a lot of people to have on this instant readiness, get them, you know, be able to function on a hair trigger. That's very emotionally difficult.
Yeah, that is true. You can wear down the efficiency of a combat crew by having them on battle stations at all time. Now, at this point, they're not on battle stations. In theory, it is still a training exercise with Japan.
Right, right.
But again, there's a finite amount of time you can keep an armada on station without doing anything.
Yeah. And would you say that we are coming to that time?
I would say that we'd probably be there in another maybe 2 months. We would be seeing serious degradation of efficiency
okay.
in the crew.
Yeah, yeah. And so I have a word for President Moon. Whatever personal security he has around him, he'd probably better double or treble it. Unfortunately, the American deep state is perfectly comfortable playing the frenemy card. And I hope that he's sleeping in his Kevlar undies.
I mean, we have a long history of the U.S. supporting somebody and then turning on them. The United States helped Saddam Hussein into power. And then when Saddam stopped doing what he was told, they took him out of power.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very routine thing for elements of the deep state to do in this country. I'd like to go to another very disturbing article. Apparently, they are finding Roundup in vaccines.
The glyphosate.
Glyphosate. It's an ingredient found in Monsanto's Roundup and hundreds of other herbicides has been found in vaccines. This organization, Moms Across America, received preliminary screening results from Microbe Innotech Laboratories of St. Louis, Missouri, which showed that the DTaP Adacel from Sanofi Pasteur vaccine has a 0.123 ppb parts per billion,
right? Correct.
Influenza fluvirin, which is made by Novartis, it has a 0.331 ppb, and Hep B, Energex B, GlaxoSmithKline, a level of 0.325 ppb, and pneumococcal vaccine polyvalent Pneumovax 23, which is created by Merck, has a 0.107 ppb of glyphosate. The MMR2 from Merck vaccine, which CDC whistleblower Dr. William Thompson has linked to autism, has levels up to 25% higher. 25 times higher than the other vaccines. Now, this is
that's 2.671 parts per billion.
Yeah.
Now, those are very, very, very small amounts. But you need to understand the World Health Organization has declared glyphosate a probable human carcinogen, and there is no legitimate reason for glyphosate, a weed killer, to be in vaccines that are being injected into your child.
Yeah.
And yes, you're going to say it's only a fraction of a part per billion, but when you look at how many shots you're being given, it starts to add up to a significant presence of glyphosate.
It's cumulative, right?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure how glyphosate degrades or in the body or what its persistence is, but the question is, why is it there in the first place, along with a lot of these other adjuvants? And again, I keep going back to that story that we had last week, that during the H1N1 outbreak, Angela Merkel and her top government officials in Germany got a vaccine that had no adjuvants in it at all. And the people of Germany were required to take an H1N1 vaccine that had all the adjuvants. They did not have a chance to opt out. Well, if there's a reason for Angela Merkel and her people not to be exposed to the adjuvants, there's a reason for you not to be exposed to the adjuvants. And when we see the vaccine industry trying to mandate all these vaccines for all of us, when you see newspapers like the Boston Herald out there saying that anybody who doubts the safety of vaccines ought to be hanged, there's something going on, and we understand that vaccines are a big money business, $30 billion a year, but it's like there's this agenda to make sure everybody gets stuck with a needle for whatever the reason is, and it may be money, and it may be something else.
Well, you know, it's, I wonder what people are doing in terms of looking at long-term effects of vaccines.
Nobody's looking. Nobody wants to find out.
Wow.
And again, the golden rule of science, whoever has the gold decides the science.
Rules. Yeah.
And nobody wants to look at the long-term studies. They're considered a waste of time and a waste of money, which is why we have so many of these FDA-approved medications that go on out and they start causing harm. And we start seeing all these commercials on TV. Did you take blah, blah, blah?
Yes.
And if you did and your nose fell off, you may be entitled to a cash settlement. And they seem to think this is good health policy. To sell you a medicine, and if it does harm you, well, they'll give you some money, and that makes everything all hunky-dory.
No, it doesn't for the child and their family. They're living with that for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is not a good health policy. It's good for business, but it's not a good health policy.
Yeah. And I'd like to go back to that documentary you and I saw, Vaxxed.
Yes.
Speaking of which, and we may need to carry this through the hour, But I have given our copy to a friend from church, Chris, real bright guy, just finished his master's, and works for the military, lovely family, three beautiful little girls and a little boy. And one of the things that this study indicated was the fact that these vaccines negatively impacted African-American kids more. That data was just left out of the report, the CDC report on the efficacy and safety of vaccines.
Yeah, that's the real scary part. There's something in these vaccines that is specifically targeting the black population. We got to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at WhatReallyHappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment on this Pow Hunter Friday here. And before I turn the mic over to Claire again, I do want to remind everybody, this is so critical. This WannaCry ransomware is spreading all over the world very rapidly. It is not just ransomware. It is a worm, which means if it gets inside your local area network or your VPN, that it will just infect all the other machines. It's causing horrendous amounts of damage. Apparently, it arrives as an attachment in an email that appears to be from somebody that you know. So just be very, very vigilant about not opening anything that could be an executable or contain macros or anything. Err on the side of caution. You can always get more pictures of your newborn nephew, you know, a couple of weeks down the road, and hopefully they're going to find a way to block this. But I'm hoping that the economic harm, plus the threat to life in the hospital systems, is finally so going to get people to wake up and realize that our internet, IT infrastructure, is incredibly weak and fragile, and that the NSA has deliberately made it so for their nefarious purposes. And the NSA set the stage for this. They created this mess in their desire to invade all of our privacy at will, a violation of the Fourth Amendment, I might add. But maybe it's time to start waking up and realizing cybercrime is a serious threat to the nation's economy, and it's time to start designing new systems to track down these hackers, these cyber criminals, arrest them, and have some very stiff punishments for them, because it's only going to get worse. The ransomware situation continues to explode, as today is illustrating. We have the FBI saying, pay the ransom, that's all we can do. That's not acceptable anymore. That's not acceptable anymore. And along with his Vaccine Safety Commission and his Election Integrity Commission, I think Donald Trump ought to set up a Computer Security Commission. Now, he's already signed an executive order trying to increase security for the federal government networks. How about for the internet as a whole, given how dependent much of modern commerce is now on that same internet?
Amen.
And you had something that you wanted to say.
Well, something a little lighter and on a personal note. I celebrated my 68th birthday last Tuesday, and it was lovely. And I can tell you very honestly, there was no difference between being 67 and 68. But tomorrow was really special, because tomorrow Mike and I celebrate the 25th anniversary of the day we met. We celebrate, too. Our wedding is in December, and tomorrow is the anniversary of the day we met.
And we met at a Jack in the Box in North Hollywood. Nobody believes us, but that's what it was.
That's the God's
standing
truth.
In line.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I am just very delighted that he was there.
Well, ditto, back at you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tomorrow we're probably going to not be doing quite as much posting on the site. And
We have other things in mind.
So,
and we need a little bit of a break. We're a little fried. It's intense. We work at this 7 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day, and so we're gonna keep an eye on the news and everything, but we're gonna have a little mini staycation, kind of pull back and try and get our headspace together.
Definitely.
There's the music. Time for us to get out of here. Have a good weekend.
Yes.
Happy Pauhana Friday. We'll be back on Monday at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultation consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.